Totally Hockey at the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship, Day 10. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Totally Hockey. Today on the show, we are joined by award-winning Canadian writer Lucas Aykroyd.
You nailed it.
Finally.
You know, it's all about getting better as the tournament goes on.
Right. That's very nicely put. Also joining us today, František Kuna of Radio Journal, who'll be along in a second, and Andrew Podnex, who's down in Košice. But let's begin with the scores on day 10 of the World Championship. In Košice, a spectacular game from James Van Riemsdyk as USA downed Germany 3-1.
Ryan Suter plays it around for Alec Martinez. Snaps that pass ahead to Van Riemsdyk. He's got Larkin streaking in, a centering pass. Larkin shoots, scores!
While France lost 3-0 to the Finnish and could soon face Le Fin. In Bratislava, the Czech Republic put 8 past Austria. And Sunday night's big game, Anisimov, Kucherov and Kucherov, Russia. And that was enough to take care of Switzerland. 3-0.
До конца третьего периода.
Remember, you can check out highlights of all those games and much more on the IIHF app. And there's goals as they go in across the IIHF social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Now, Lucas, we've just seen exciting game here in Bratislava. Switzerland taking on Russia. Russia, who began the tournament at a slightly conservative pace, attacking this game with real verve and venom. And immediately after the buzzer sounded, I managed to catch a word with the Russian captain, Ilya Kovalchuk.
You guys look frightening out there. From the start of the tournament, it seems you've really sped up. You're really going harder, more aggressive, faster.
Yeah, you know, we got one more game before the playoffs, so we need to prepare ourselves best as we can. And like we said, we're going to improve every game.
It doesn't seem to be a weakness, but next up a big test, Sweden.
Yeah, they're a great team, you know, so it's always great games against each other, so we're looking forward for it.
They look frightening today, Lucas.
They do, and I think what's particularly frightening for opponents is the fact that the Russians now have 4 shutouts in the group phase. The Russians are not always known for their back-checking. They've always got the fancy sports car players, the Malkins, the Ovechkins, the Kucherovs up front. But being careful around their own net, that can be their Achilles heel. Not so far. 3 goals allowed. And heading into that game with Sweden, if they win, that's an extremely good sign for Russian fans, because every time under the current format that the Russians have gone 7-0 in the preliminary round, they have gone on to win the gold medal, both in 2012 and in 2014.
Which was the last time they picked up a medal.
Exactly.
Right. So they started this tournament in a very soft fashion, as we mentioned before. 2 of those 3 goals they conceded to Norway, which is kind of bizarre looking back. But when they came on the ice today, it looked like even the sight of them spooked the Swiss.
Yeah, I think they were just on a mission. The Russians get that early goal. Dmitry Orlov, who isn't always a razzle-dazzle defenseman with the NHL's Washington Capitals, he comes in, puts the moves on Lucas Frick, and then Anisimov there for the rebound. So that put the Swiss behind the 8-ball, because the Swiss would prefer to be playing with the lead in this situation. It's not easy to play run and gun against the Russian firepower. And it was an interesting game. I mean, it was physical.
It was. Swiss with quite a conservative approach compared to the Russians. And even when Russia were penalty killing, it seemed that the Swiss were almost cautious about trying to prod the Russian bear too much. Russia's penalty killing stats are incredible. I think 17 times they've had a man disadvantage. They've only conceded 1 goal in that time in this tournament. But do you think that the Swiss handled this game properly?
I think the Swiss did the best they could for the most part. You know, I didn't see a lot of huge tactical errors. They did try to engage physically. You want to slow down the Russians because, again, run and gun is not going to work when you have 3 former NHL scoring champions, actually 1 current one on the ice for Russia. And there's just too many weapons out there. So I would not fault goalie Leonardo Giannone. I thought he did the best he could. The Russians just have more speed and skill, and that came through tonight.
When you look at them from the perspective of the Sweden game coming up on Tuesday, is there a weakness? Is there an area you think where the Swedes can hurt them?
Well, the Swedes always play that extraordinarily well-disciplined game. I would say in goal, the matchup, if anything, somewhat favors the Russians at this stage of the game. Andrei Vasilevsky in his prime. Henrik Lundqvist a little bit past it. Still a great goalie, but not, you know, the man who would play 70 games 10 years ago.
Russia actually using Georgiev in his game tonight and still getting the shutout.
Yeah, exactly. And Lundqvist's backup in New York, ironically. You know, I think the Swedes have a bit of an advantage on defense with people like Coyotes captain Oliver Ekman and Larsson and John Klingberg coming in. That's a huge get from the Dallas Stars. But yeah, the Swedes will just have to stay, you know, disciplined. You don't want to give the Russians time and space on the power play. And you can see with the way Nikita Kucherov, the NHL scoring champ, is clicking with his old buddy Nikita Gusev. Two very dangerous men.
Kucherov, indeed, now the top scorer in this year's tournament. 6 goals, 2 of them against the Swiss on this Sunday, with 8 assists as well. So that's certainly clicking, as you say. What about the Swiss? They have a reinforcement arriving of their own, who I think is due to jet in on Monday, Nino Niederreiter. How much does he boost their hopes going into the quarterfinals?
It's a big boost. I mean, Nino Niederreiter has shown he's a clutch player in the past. I remember covering the World Juniors actually back in 2010 in the province of Saskatchewan, and El Nino kind of forged his reputation there. He scored the tying goal and the overtime winner against the Russians, actually. Major upset in the quarterfinals there. So a big weapon. And historically, the Swiss didn't always have those go-to NHL players. Now they do. You know, the fact that they have a number one overall pick from 2017 and Nico Ishii in the lineup, that's huge. And so, yeah, Niederreiter just ramps that up, and they can use the offense.
So that's some good news for the Swiss on a day which saw them taken down a notch or two by the mighty Russians. Okay, also in Group B, Austria took on the Czech Republic. We're joined now, I'd say, by Czech expert Franciszek Kuna of Radio Journal.
Right.
Franciszek,
thank you.
So glad you could rejoin us here on Totally Hockey, because that was a big scoreline today. Those Czechs look good.
Yeah, offensively right. 16 goals in 2 games, but it was against Italy and against Austria. But it's interesting what Czech captain Voráček speak about after the game. He guess it's about the skating. The Czech team has a good move on the ice. And he was a little bit surprised how much the Czech team does too much training before the championship, because he knows how it works in NHL. There's not too much time to work, to skate, to make physical things. So right now, before the tournament, with the Czech coach Miloš Říha, was a little bit tough for Czech captain. He was surprised. But right now, 2 weeks after, he said that was a good decision, that was a good job from the Czech team. We have a physically really good prepared, and that's the reason why we can move so good, skate so speed, and score too much goals in 2 games.
Excellent conditioning. The other thing, as you mentioned, was the opponents they've had in these last 2 games. And not only was this Austria, but this was also an Austrian team that they didn't exactly give you a bye, but they rested 4 of their best players.
Yeah. Because they have a more interesting game. I'm not sure if it's tomorrow or I don't know.
The Italy game is coming up on Monday. So here's my question. Who are the Czech Republic at this point? Because you began the tournament beating the Swedes. Mm-hmm. Then you lost 3-0 to Russia. And the other games we've seen, it's hard to really get a measure of how good you are because they've been against this kind of team.
That's a little bit boring week for Czech players. I'm not sure if it's true, but if you imagine how it was against Latvia, Latvia were 2-0 after first period, so it wasn't too much boring for the Czech guys. But the other 2 games were a little bit easy, and I spoke with some of the Czech defenseman Jan Kolář, and he said that was one of the easiest game, I guess, at this tournament, easier than against Italy today. But there was many penalty killing from the Czech team. But the next game will decide it. The interesting thing, if the Czechs went to Košice or not.
Because if you finish 3rd and 4th, then you have to switch cities.
Yeah.
And that comes down to your clash with the Swiss, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
How good do you think this Czech team is?
Quite good, I guess.
Okay. And is
No, it's one of the best team I remember. That's my sixth world championship, and I don't remember the Czech team has too much players from NHL. It's 11 guys, I guess, from NHL, and it will be a tough match against Switzerland.
I think it's hard to read the Czechs sometimes because we've seen, like last year, they brought in David Pastrnak and David Krejci, huge additions from the NHL's Boston Bruins, and it looked like they were cruising heading into the quarterfinals, and yet they go out, and if they were to lose in the quarters this year, it would be the fourth year in a row. So a bit of a crisis of confidence, I think, for the Czechs, you know, not having been in the medal column since 2012 with a bronze and going all the way back to 2010 for their last gold.
It's been a long time, no?
Yeah, 6 years without medal since I started as a sports reporter at the World Championship. It was a 2013 was a bronze. Then I started with this job and I didn't see any medal from a Czech team.
You're carrying the hopes now of two nations, really, because I think with Slovakia going out on this Sunday, the home fans will really only have the Czech Republic now to root for.
I guess if I remember how it was 2011 here in Bratislava, so that was absolutely Czech nation. The Slovaks thinks we are Czechs because they didn't reach a quarterfinal. When Slovakia went out of the tournament, so there was just one team and that was Czech. And I guess that will be the same this year.
Excellent. Franček, look forward to speaking to you again soon. And thank you so much for joining us today on Totally Hockey.
See you next time.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Okay, Group A, which saw France taking on Finland and Germany in a must-win game for them and the Slovakians against the United States. On the line now from Košice is Andrew Podnik, a hockey writer. Andrew, it was an exciting day, particularly the Germany-USA game. Slovakia needed a favour from Germany. It looked like for a while that Germany might help them out, taking the lead.
Yeah, they did, but you know the Americans played a very patient game, and you know I think they have the superior roster, and they just kept, as the players always say, they just kept playing the game, and they rolled one line after another, and eventually the goals came.
Let's talk a little bit about James van Riemsdyk, because first of all, his flick on the was it Clayton Keller's wrister to tip that into the five hole and between the goalie's legs, that was a pretty extraordinary bit of coordination.
Yeah, he's a special player, and he made a great pass, and it was a nice play all around.
And then he came up with the assist a little bit later on for the goal that put the U.S. ahead.
Yeah, again, it was a beautiful pass to Dylan Larkin, and Larkin made a nice shot, a short side, and that proved to be the winning goal.
It was an extraordinarily nice pass, though, wasn't it? Just kind of lifted it over a couple of sticks, including the German defender, and right onto the tape of Larkin's stick.
Yeah, it was a beautiful long saucer pass, and it had both Germans fooled a little bit, or they couldn't get their stick on it, and it landed right on Larkin's, and he did the right thing.
And was it Eichel who closed out the scoring in this game? A 3-1 win, and the Germans are through anyway. The Americans equally have already booked their quarterfinal place, but that did mean that Slovakia won't be progressing in the tournament. Were there any pointers that you took from America's performance? We've seen them concede more chances to teams in other matches, and certainly the Germans put up a much tougher test than they did in their recent defeat to the Canadians.
The Americans have had a bit of an odd schedule because you know, they started off playing Slovakia, and I think if they played Slovakia today, they would have won. But you know, it was the first game of the tournament. The players didn't know each other very well, and of course, Slovakia was playing their opening night match with the incredible crowd. So I think if you look at the past 9 days or 10 days, the Americans have really, really progressed, and they've gotten a little bit better. But it's been kind of tough to gauge because they've had you know, two or three very easy games as well. And so I think today was the first sort of true test of the team as it starts to really get better and prepare for the quarterfinals. And I think all the players were really, really, I think they were pleased that Germany put up such a good fight as well and that it really tested them. And, you know, it was 1-0 and then 1-1 for the longest time. And the Americans, I think, were just patient. And in the end, the better team won, but they were pushed. And I think that if you're an American fan, I think that's a good thing because they were pushed, but they responded properly.
Okay, USA, Germany, Finland and Canada advanced to the quarterfinals from Group A, the seeding to be decided partly by Tuesday's clash between the US and Canada. Lucas, how positive are you feeling about that one?
I think Canada looks pretty good. I mean, they've been solid up and down the roster. I wonder a little bit about the goaltending. You know, I think there's still a chance that, you know, Carter Hart may end up taking the reins depending on how the playoffs are shaping up. But overall, I think it's going to be a great matchup, and it could go either way because this is probably the most skilled American team that has come to the Worlds possibly ever.
Andrew, would you go along with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun next couple of days, really, because you've got the important relegation round games, and on our side, the top four, as you said, it's probably going to be Finland 1 and Germany 4, and then the winner of the USA-Canada game will finish 2. And I think the Americans have the better roster on paper, but I think the Canadians have been playing maybe just a little bit better on the ice. And so I would give them a slight edge, but you know, really, I think it's 50-50.
Now, also in Košice on Sunday night, Finland confirming their first place in the group with a 3-0 victory over France.
Yeah, it was a 3-0 game in the end, but if you watched it, France, I think, played probably their best game, or maybe their second best game, because they went to a shootout with Denmark. But you know, again, when you look at the matchup, you'd think Finland would win quite easily, but the French kept the Finns to the outside, and they had fantastic goaltending from Florian Hardy tonight. Shots were 47-21 for Finland, but he was fantastic. And again, I think Finland would have been happy with the result too, because they were pushed a little bit. You know, I don't think the result was really ever in question, but they certainly had to work hard for 60 minutes to get that victory. It wasn't a cakewalk.
Andrew, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed on events there in Košice.
Oh, my pleasure.
So Monday's games, Canada take on Denmark over in Košice. There's two make or break matchups, France taking on Great Britain and Austria against Italy, both of which will see the winner stay up in the top division. And there's another big game here in Bratislava as Sweden take on Latvia. Lucas, Canada against Denmark, what will Canada be looking to do with that? What questions will they look to answer with that game?
Canada will look to fill the net early and often. We saw what the Americans did to Denmark in their 7-1 win. And right now, Canada has a lot of weapons firing. You look at Anthony Mantha vying for the tournament scoring lead. Mark Stone just coming off a hat trick in his last game. So I think Canada will look to put the Danes away early, a Danish team that's not looking as dangerous as some Danish teams we've seen in the recent past.
That's very true. Canada are guaranteed their place in the quarterfinals. Sweden, though, are not. This game against Latvia is very interesting. Sweden currently have a 6-point lead over Latvia, who are in fifth, just outside the quarterfinal positions. But if Latvia beat them and gain 3 points on them there, it will come down to the final day when Sweden will be taking on Russia, as we heard before, and Latvia, Lucas, have Norway. Now, you can easily see Latvia picking up another 3 points there. So I don't think I'm being melodramatic when I say that if Latvia win this game, Sweden could be heading for an early exit.
Well, I've always left the door open for Sweden being upset by former Soviet republics ever since I saw Belarus knock them off in the 2002 quarterfinal. And, you know, you never know. The Latvians have had some quick starts lately. They haven't been able to hold on to those first period leads. And, yeah, they've shown an ability to compete. So you never know.
They did take the lead against Russia on Saturday. Sweden, though, have bolstered their side since their somewhat shaky start to this campaign with a couple of arrivals, notably Gabriel Landeskog.
Yeah, great addition. Colorado Avalanche captain, veteran of this tournament, part of the 2017 gold medal winning team, and not an entirely typical Swedish player. He plays a very Canadian style, very straightforward, but, you know, Sweden is so multidimensional, and he's a nice add.
How would you define the Swedish style against the Canadian style, then?
The Swedish style is very patient, very side to side, very less physical than the Canadian style. Let's put it
that way.
Okay. Landeskog is almost indistinguishable from a prototypical Canadian power forward.
Now, they've also got William Nylander, who's in excellent form. Indeed, until Kucherov started banging them in this Sunday evening, he was the leading scorer. 13 points, 4 goals, and 9 assists. Hasn't been the best of seasons for him at club level in the NHL, but he's been talking about how well things are clicking with his line mates.
Pucks are going in right now. It's just how it goes. Sometimes they don't, and right now they're going in. And I think we're also playing well, so that's part of it. And yeah, we want to keep building off of what we have right now. I think we all complement each other really well. I mean, me and Wenberg try to
move around on the outside, and Patrick is in front of the net and creating space there, and I mean, scoring a lot of goals right in front of the net, and I mean, winning battles and competing really hard for us every shift.
What's your call on Sweden-Latvia, Lucas?
I think the Swedes will win, not overwhelmingly, but fairly handily. A 5-1 result wouldn't be unexpected.
Now, battling for their place at next year's World Championship are France and Great Britain. France, who of course today had that 3-0 defeat that we heard about to Finland. Great Britain, meanwhile, were having themselves a day off. How much difference might that make? Let's hear from GB's David Phillips.
It's a massive game. It's probably the biggest game in Great Britain's history. We did so well getting into this group, but now our aim is to try and stay in this group as long as possible. We know coming into it was going to be a massive task, but you know, we think the game tomorrow is a winnable game, and if we give it our best 60, there's no reason why we can't stay in this group. It's going to be everyone's seventh game in 10 or 11 days, however many it is, so concentration is a big key and getting your bodies ready. So it's, you know, it's going to be a tough game, but I'm really confident that we definitely can do it. I think we're still to play our best game as a team. We've had moments in games where we've played brilliantly, and we've had moments where we've played terribly, but I can't stress it enough how much we have to do it for a full game. And if we can do it for a full game and we do lose, then, you know, sometimes you've got to just take it on the chin and say we give it the best we've got, but so far I don't think we've done it for a full 60 game minute.
As for Austria, it's all about Italy. Quite a few of the Italians play in Austria, four with Italian club Bolzano, including their only goal scorer so far, Angelo Micheli. He is fired up.
We knew it was going to come down to one game. You know, we're not oblivious to the situation. We know that Sweden, Russia, Swiss, Czech, these are big hockey population. Lots of people are playing. We just have maybe two regions in our country playing hockey. So we knew what we were up against. Obviously, it's a great experience for us all as professional hockey players, Italians, to play versus this level and realize where we're at and where the world is at. And, yeah, you know, we conceded a lot of goals, but like I said, it comes down to one game, and we just got to not concede many goals in that game. I think we're passionate, we're hardworking, and we have a lot to prove, and, you know, we want to prove to the world that we want to stay up here. Obviously, that's our main goal. That was our goal from the beginning, is to stay up in this Group A. So it comes down to one game, and it's a 60-minute game, and you never know what could happen.
Meanwhile, here's Austria's Raphael Herberger.
I think we have to prepare. We have to know what's going on there tomorrow. They're ready. Italy is like, we know them from the league, so they're a hardworking team. Nothing will be easy. I think it's 50-50, and yeah, it's one game. In one game, you can win everything or lose everything. I think it will be 50-50. They have a good goalkeeper, a good defensive team, so yeah, we have to be smart. We're a strong team. We know we stay together. We can lose games like this and we come back stronger, and we deserve it. We worked hard for this a whole year, and so we'll be ready tomorrow.
Do you have a view on Austria, Italy?
The Austrians have been eyeing this game for weeks, months. It's been circled on their calendar, and you've heard it in their post-game comments. Even today, they said, you know, we were trying to rest up and get healthy for the big game against Italy. They know there's an opportunity there with the Italians having scored just once so far in the round robin. And even that goal got video reviewed. Not perhaps a good sign for the Italians. So we'll see if the Austrians can crank it up in that situation. I'm sure the Italians will give it all they've got.
The Austrians got out of jail in a similar fashion last year, which may have been some use to them. The Italians feel, we just heard them there, that they might have some advantage in that quite a few of their players actually ply their trade in Austria. Four or five for Bolzano, who play in the Austrian leagues, and they have another player with Salzburg. So it's going to be interesting. There's a little bit, it's not so much of an unknown for them, I guess.
No, there's a lot of crossover in that region with the ABLE League. And yeah, there will be some personal motivation on the line too, you'll bet.
It's going to be dramatic. Lucas, thank you so much for being with us this evening. It's been a busy day as ever, and there'll be another one along tomorrow, as we mentioned. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show, to rate and review us, and share and subscribe as well, and check out the IIHF app, which will keep you up to date with all the latest developments here at the Ice Hockey World Championship. We'll be back at the end of Monday. Do hope you join us then.
Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Mighty Knees Media production in association with In Front.